Welcome, everybody. A special welcome to those of you who are with us for the very first time. We know sometimes it's hard to go visit a church for the very first time. We're glad you're here. My name's John, lead pastor. If you're sitting close to a worship folder at the end of a row, would you do us a favor, take that and pass it back and forth? Guess you can sign that. Anybody who wants to update their information, please, please sign that and fill that out. And we'll be happy to get back to you with any questions or prayers that you need or have. Now, I don't know when you received your first Bible. I received my first Bible many moons ago, back when the color green was the 70s green. You remember the 70s green? My Bible was green, came in a box, a little green one. But the best part about the very first Bible that I was given was every several pages, there was a picture. I thought that was great, because I wasn't going to read through the whole Bible, but I could really get through the Bible with pictures, which brings me kind of to the heart of the message here today. If you're parents of young kids or grandparents, and you're thinking about buying a Bible, buy a picture Bible with little captions under it, because it's a great way for kids to learn. And then don't tell anybody you did this, but buy a second one for yourself. And then you can read through it, and you learn the Bible from front to back. Just a little trade secret. You can do that. And because when we received our Bibles, nobody told us that the Bible was organized into three different sections, three different messages for three different audiences, not two, but three. And that these three different sections were a story, and it was sequential. And like a story, when something was important, then something else came along that was more important, so that one was less important, and on as the story continued to unfold. But there were three different audiences. One was an individual, where there was a promise between God and the individual. Then God made a promise to a nation, and then God made a covenant with the world. And so they were three different audiences. The individual was Abraham, the nation was Israel, and the covenant was with the world, that we're part of the world. And so these three different messages for this was something I believe that a lot of people kind of end up falling away from the faith because they don't understand the Bible, and the Bible ends up being an obstacle for people, and so they drift away from the faith because they don't have any trust in the Bible. So if you're here and Scripture's kind of an obstacle for you, I'm glad you're here. It doesn't have to be. That's why we're in this series, Foundations. In the series, we're talking about one of the most overlooked narratives in Scripture, the book of Acts. The book of Acts was written by Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he recorded what happened after the resurrection for about 30 years just after the resurrection. And in the early years of the church, there was a very important meeting, church meeting, so important for us because it actually defines your relationship to the Old Testament. And because that relationship may not have been defined real well for you, it may be kind of a stumbling block for you. So that's why it's important for us to talk about today. So I'm going to jump right back into the history. If you haven't been here the last couple weeks, please head back to our website and check it out and listen to the first two chapters. So now it's about 20 years after the resurrection. The Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul of Tarsus, then a couple years after the resurrection, he came to belief. You know, he was blinded, and then you remember that story. So Paul now is in the city of Antioch, about 300 miles north of Jerusalem, just returned from his very first mission trip. He's with a man named Barnabas, telling everybody that God has done something new for the world. And Gentiles everywhere Paul traveled began to embrace this message of Jesus. And the message was this, that salvation is a gift, and it is for you, that God has done something for you. All you have to do is believe. And Gentiles were embracing this message of Jesus everywhere. Meanwhile, back in Jerusalem, the mix-and-match Jewish Christians, they were called circumcised believers, they hear what's going on up in Antioch, and they're like, no, we're not going to have any of that. The Apostle Paul's up there telling these folks that they don't have to keep the law, that Moses is out and Jesus is in, and we can't have that. So they sent their own missionaries to Antioch to come in behind the Apostle Paul to correct his theology. And their message was this: keeping the law of Moses is a condition. If you're going to receive the benefits of faith, of salvation, then you're going to have to do things. You're going to have to keep some commands and some customs. You're going to have to become Jewish. So this really developed all kinds of drama in the early church. So here's what happens again. This is Acts 15, what we just read. Then certain individuals came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you're circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. So for the Jewish people, circumcision was, for men, was the mark of the covenant. That's how you knew you were part of the covenant. They circumcised babies. They circumcised young men who, if you wanted to become part of Judaism, then you would go and get circumcised. So they come along Paul and they say, look, Paul didn't tell you the whole story. This is salvation by surgery, right? This is salvation by, you know, if you're going to be a Jesus follower. And they're like, wait a minute, you know, nobody told us that. Where's Paul, right? Where's Paul? Guys, can you imagine just if that was just the case, if that was true for us today, you'd be driving up to the church in the minivan going, I don't know, honey, you go in with the kids. I'm just going to reflect for a few minutes about this. So they're blending covenants here. They're blending Moses, a little bit of Moses, a little bit of Jesus. And they're thinking, you know, just because we're following Jesus, does that mean that we're going to throw out our whole Bible? And they didn't use the word Bible. They said the law and the prophets, right? Just because we're following Jesus, does that mean that we have to abandon Moses? So this brought Paul and Barnabas into significant debate, and now we have this big fight in the church, and all these Gentile believers are going, look, we're pretty good with Jesus. You all have to get your act together and figure it out, because we're good with Jesus, but we don't know about this Jewish stuff. And so Paul and Barnabas were appointed by the churches at Antioch to go back to Jerusalem and meet with the church in Jerusalem. That's the church where Peter and James and all the apostles were meeting, and all the elders. Now, why would they have to go back to Jerusalem to sort this out with this group? Why would they have to do that? Well, remember, there's no Bible, right? There is no New Testament. Paul hadn't written his letters yet. They weren't floating around. We were pretty sure that the Gospels hadn't been written yet, or if they had, they hadn't been distributed yet at all. And again, this is 20 years after the resurrection, and the church is growing like crazy. And yet there's no scripture, and now there's a problem. And so they have to go back and sort this out. And so they have this big meeting, and here's the meeting's agenda. The agenda is this: the Gentiles' relationship with the law of Moses. Or put another way, in different terms, your relationship with the first half of your English Bible. Your relationship with the law of Moses, your relationship with what we call the Old Testament. What should your relationship be? If it's all true, is it for me as well? Is it for us too? 20 years after the resurrection, that's the question that's still at hand. Do the Gentiles have to live like Jews? So at this meeting, a debate breaks out. There's all kinds of discussion. And after a while, Peter stands up to talk. Now remember from last week, Peter had a coming to Jesus meeting, remember? And kind of God had an intervention with Peter because at this point in time, Peter had yet to step into the household of any Gentile. Why? Because he was Jewish and he was struggling. He was mixing and matching a little bit of Moses and a little bit of Jesus, but he was Jewish, so he considered the Gentiles impure and unclean. But now, after this big moment, now Peter has woken up to the fact that God had done something new in the world for everybody. And so this is what he says. He stands up and says, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And I love this line. He goes on, and this line is important in case you've ever had a bad church experience, or in case right now you feel kind of alone in some of your where you're at, or if you are in a place right now where you've done something in the past that you feel disqualifies you from being a follower, or anything like that. I love this line. He says, and God who knows the human heart, right? And God who looks beyond the Gentile offensiveness, the God who looks beyond our checkered past, a God who looks beyond our limitations, a God who looks beyond our inability to forgive ourselves, a God who looks beyond that and sees who you really are, who sees the human heart. God who knows the human heart testified, or the better word here is accepted. God who knows the human heart accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. Now, it's impossible to overstate the paradigm shift that these last six words represent, because the law and the prophets were very specific that God was building up one nation, not other nations, but building up just one nation. And that shows up, and part of the reason why a book like the Psalms can be so confusing. Because in the book of Psalms, we read, on the one hand, God is good, God is great, I love you, God. On the other hand, it's God, kill my enemies and make their crops all die and everything. You're like, what is going on here? Well, that's the way it was, that God was, it was my God is bigger than your God. And that was just the approach. But this is a new worldview. It's totally different. And it's detached from everything that came before. And it took Peter 15 to 20 years to realize that God had actually thrown the doors open to outsiders, that God had done something through the Jews for the world. But the through the Jews part has now come to its completion. What was once reserved for the Jews are now available for everyone. So after this little speech, Peter asked him a question. Okay, guys, look, let's be honest with each other. It's tough to be a law-abiding Jew, isn't it? It's tough. In fact, we're not even very good at it. So why would we make all these Gentiles follow the commands and the customs that we haven't been very good at following all these years anyway? It just isn't very realistic. He says, on the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through grace. That word doesn't show up very often in the law and the prophets. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as they are. It took 20 years for Peter to finally realize that Christianity wasn't Judaism 2.0. It wasn't an add-on. Jesus wasn't an and, but an instead of. And the Jerusalem Council, they deliberated more and they finally concurred. And they agreed with Peter and they agreed with Paul. And they decided that the commands and the customs, including circumcision, would not be required, much to the relief of all the Gentile believing men. But there was one commandment that the council did support. And it was a commandment that Paul had been teaching for years up to this point. And it was a commandment that Jesus gave when he left his disciples. And the commandment was this. This is what Jesus said. In all you do, you are to treat others as God in Christ has treated you. In all that you do, you are to treat others as God in Christ has treated you. And so Paul was teaching this. You know, he would say things like this, that in your relationships with one another, you should have the same mind of Christ Jesus. Any questions? That kind of covers it, right? It covers it. Guess I have to put people first before me, right? Or then he would say things like, in your relationship with one another, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so is hers. And so is his. Any questions? No, that kind of covers it, doesn't it? Paul tied all the new covenant imperatives back to this one command that Jesus, this new command. And so this was the shift. It was huge. The Jerusalem Council basically said to the Gentiles and to you and to me that you're not accountable to the Jewish commandments because they're not your commandments. Yours are far less complicated, but they're far more demanding. right? Because when you begin to view every single person that you meet as a creation of God, red, yellow, black, white, rich or poor, vulnerable or not, when you begin to view every single person who is created in the image of God and every single person as a carrier of the Holy Spirit, then you don't need chapter and verse at all. Right? You will do for her as God in Christ has done for you. You will do for him as Christ, God in Christ has done for you. And so the broad context, when we're thinking about the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, is the backstory to the main story. Are they important? Absolutely. Are they inspired? Absolutely. That it's God on the move in ancient times. It's violent. It's disturbing. Some of it is offensive. But it's the fabulous story of God the founder playing by the rules of the kingdoms of the world in order to establish a kingdom not of this world. And to bring a king into this world who would die for his subjects so that he could introduce the world to God the Father. Which means Jesus' new covenant with you and me can stand on its own two nail-scarred resurrection feet. The foundation of our faith is the resurrection. Let's embrace all that God is doing new today. And let's be sure to pass to the next generation a firm foundation. Let me pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for, again, you remind us that you have given us a gift. And this gift doesn't require us to change or pay attention to a bunch of rules in order to earn it, but rather this is a gift. Simply, all that he asks us to do, all you ask us to do is to open it up and to live every day with a sense of expectancy that you indeed are a part of our life. You are up to something in the world. Help us as we seek to be a part of what you're doing. We pray in your name. Amen.